Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sota Daf Mem Gimel. We are holding on daf Mem Beis Amud Beis at the two dots at the bottom of the page. Vatem Iatem Kain. Thank Alicia Graf very much for giving the shir yesterday while I was out of town for a wedding. So today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, Emily Nishmas's mother, Golda Bas Simcha Alea Shalom. We thank Dr. Lander very much for the continued sponsorship of the Daf Yomi Shir. So what we're going to learn today is the following. First, we're going to talk about how the Aron went out to war. What items went out to war? Since we're in Parak Mashuach Mulchama, so we're discussing going out to war. So we're going to talk about what items went out to war with Klal Yisrael. Then we're going to discuss why it is that Pinchas was chosen to fight against the Midianim and what exactly Pinchas' lineage on his mother's side was. Did he come from Yisro? Did he come from Yosef? And then the Mishnah and Amar Aleph is going to go through the details of the three people who returned from the battlefront, who are exempt from war, that are identified in the Chumash. Then the Gemara is going to discuss who makes the announcements, the various announcements of Mia Isha Yari Verachaleva, of Mia Isha etc. So what exactly is the role of the Kohen Mashiach Melchama in those announcements, and what exactly is the role of the Shoter in making those announcements? Then the Gemara is going to talk about what do we consider a house as far as Bana Bayis, that a person builds a house. What if he builds an extension on his house? What if he builds a temporary house? What if he builds a tiny house? What if he buys a house? What if he rents out? So all of these details. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss what is called planting a kerem, that someone who plants a kerem is exempt. What if he plants other things that are not a kerem? How many vines does it take to make up a kerem? What if there are vines, but they're really, really tiny? So we're going to discuss what counts as a kerem. In that context, we're going to bring up which trees are chayiv in Orla, because only if it's still in the early years of a tree, where you have responsibilities of Arla and Revai, only then would we exempt the person from Milchama. So which trees are Chayiv in Arla? We're going to have to figure out if you're Markiv one tree onto another, you're Mavrik one tree onto another, you graft one tree onto another. So what's its status exactly? Then toward the end of the daf, we're going to have three different statements of Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Lazar Ben Yaakov, and then four different statements, all about Gzeirus Rabbanon, of Rav Yitzchak Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Lazar Ben Yaakov. So a lot of Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Lazar Ben Yaakov, three from Rav Dimi, and then four from Rav Yitzchak. So let's begin at the two dots on the bottom of the page, on daf Mem Beis Amud Beis. Va'atem i'atem kein. So the Mashiach Muhammad tells the people that you're not going with the Koach of Goliath or anybody. You're going with Hashem Elokeichem Aleichem Imachem Lelachem Lachem. You're going with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So v'kol kach lama, what is this big promise that he says that Hashem is going with you? Why does he say HaHoleichem Lachem? Sounds like he's actually going, that something is actually moving. Why not just say Hashem is with you? Hashem is he's here, he's there, he's truly everywhere. So he's there all the time, and he's with you. So you should know that he's with you. What does he mean? He's holeichim achem mipnei shashem v'kol kinuyav munachin ba'aron. No, it's describing that there is a physical object that represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's going with them, and that is that the Shem Hashem and all of the kinuyim are lishonos of Shem Hashem that are in maskirin, that you're not supposed to say Levatala, and there are a whole bunch of them, so they're all in the Aron, and they all go with them. The Marsha writes, Lav Dafka, only the Luchos are in the Aron. So what does it have? It has Shem Hashem, it has Elokecha, it has Kel. It doesn't have all of the Kinuyim, but it has some of the Kinuyim. So Elokecha, Kel, those are some of the Kinuyim. So they're all in the Aron that goes with them to Milchama. So the Gemara brings a Raya that the Aron that had the Luchos would go with them to Milchama, because V'cheinu Omer, and when it describes the Milchama's Midian, it says Ve'yishlachu so Moshe elef lamata latzava osam ve'es Pinchas. It says in Pinchas Manazar Koyin latzava and the Klei Hakodesh Chazos Hashuah Biyado. The pasuk goes on to say, so we darsh in the pasuk osam elu Sanhedrin. That's a reference to the Sanhedrin that went out to fight wars with them. From the fact that it says osam in a second time in the pasuk, that's what the Marsha points out. We darshin that it must be the Sanhedrin. That it's Sanhedrin is skula keneged kol Yisrael. So it's osam is kol Yisrael. But then Osam, there's another group that Shkula connected Kol Yisrael. The only group that Shkula connected Kol Yisrael is the Sanhedrin. Ben Yoyada says, no, how do I know it's the Sanhedrin? From the word Osam, because Rabbi Akiva, famously in Meseches Pesachim Daf Chavav, tells us that Es Hashem Elokecha Tira L'Rabos Talmidei Chachamim. So Talmid Chachamim Mekayim the Torah that was given with Chaf Beis Osios from Aleph Atav. So Es, Aleph Atav, Es Hashem Elokei Chatira is l'rabos tamid chavim, and the os mem that stuma is meramis that the mekayim the mitzvos on four sides, meaning kavada machshava dibor ma'isa, all four elements of the mitzvah. So osam are those who are tamid chachamim who fulfill all the mitzvos on all the different levels. So that's how I know that it refers to the Sanhedrin. That's how the Ben Yoyada understands. Pinchas Zemeshuach Melchama. When it identifies Pinchas, that's saying the person who's in the position of Meshuach Melchama. Uklea Kodesh Ze Aron Veluchos Shabo. And Klea Kodesh is reference to the Aron and Veluchos, the Chatzosu Satrua, Elu HaShofaros. And the Chatzosu Satrua relates to the Shofros that they would be, that they would blow in Melchama. It's a little bit difficult because if it says V'chatzotros Satrua, Mechites Yeret Shofros, just say that it's Chatzotros, meaning they had Chatzotros that went out with them to Melchama as well. So the Marsha raises that kasha of why we say Elu HaShofros and HaChatzotros. It happens to be that the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos tells us that there were certain things that their names changed over time. That which used to be called Chatzotros are now called Shofros. That which used to be called Shofros are now Chatzotros. So that may relate to this over here. That which the Chumash refers to as Chatzotros, by the time they got to the Lashon HaGemara, that was actually Shofros. Okay, so once we mentioned a little bit about the Melchemes Midyan and how they brought the Aron out to Melchemes Midyan, or we learned that they bring the Aron out to every war from Melchemes Midyan. So the Gemara talks a little bit more about Melchemes Midyan historically. Tana lo lechinam halach Pinchas l'melchama. It wasn't for nothing that Pinchas went to fight against Midian. Eluli paradin avi imo. But rather, it was in order to seek vengeance for what Midian had done to his maternal grandfather, namely to Yosef, that the Midianim sold him down to Mitzrayim. Shenemar v'Midianim machroso el Mitzrayim. So it says, well, wait, l'meimer de Pinchas mi Yosef asi. The yichus of Pinchas, is that accurate? He descended from Yosef. V'aksi vel ozer ben aron nakach lo mibnos Putiel lo liisha, and Pinchas was born from that marriage. So you see, Pinchas comes from, his mother was a bas Putiel. Who's Putiel? My love, da asimi Yisro. Doesn't Putiel refer to Yisro? Shepite magalim lavodas kachavim, and he was called Putiel because he fattened calves to be used for avodah zara. So he didn't descend. His mother was not from Yosef. His mother was from Yisro. So says Maran, lo mi Yosef. Putiel is not a reference to Yisro. It actually is a reference to Yosef. Shepit peit bi Yitzro. And Yosef is called Putiel because he was mizalzel in his Yetzer Hara. He conquered his Yetzer Hara. He turned his Yetzer Hara into nothing in the story that we learned with the Yeshus Potiphar, where Yosef said, what was that, Taflamid Hay or so, right? That Yosef managed to overcome that Yetzer Hara. So Valo Shvatim Evazino, so Fraktik Gemara, no, he had to have come from Yisro, because the Shvatim, when Pinchas killed Zimri, were Mevaza Pinchas. And they said, Re'isem ben Putizeh, ben Shapite, Mavi Imo, Agolim, Lavod Chavim, Yarug Nasim Yisrael. Who does this guy think he is? Look what he comes from. His mother comes from someone who was Mefatim Agolim, Lavod Zara, and he's going to go and he's going to kill the Nasim Yisrael. So you see that he descended from Yisro, and not necessarily from Yosef. And the Iyun Yaakov points out, and maybe that's why the Dafka chose him to take vengeance against Midian, because he came from Yisro, who was a Kohen Midian. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Tesam Beis, tells us that from the very forest that you want to chop down will come the axe that chops down that forest, meaning the handle of the axe comes from a tree that grows in the forest, that axe is now going to chop down that forest. So you have someone who comes from Midian, that it's Dafka, someone who has some sort of a root in Midian is going to be successful in knocking out Midian. So that's where he comes from. So says Gemara, Ella, it could be that they're both true. He comes from Yosef and from Yisro, both on his mother's side. Iavua di ime mi Yosef, if his mother's father is from Yosef, Imei di imei mi Yisro. His mother's mother is from Yisro. The imei di imei mi Yosef. And if his mother's mother is from Yosef, avua di imei mi Yisro. So his mother's father is from Yisro. And therefore, we call his mother Mibnos Putiel. It makes sense. Sometimes we'll try to dafka use a word that encapsulates everything. Meaning, the Chumash will use a word, and certainly the Chachamim oftentimes will use words that are vague on purpose because it incorporates all the meanings within the word. So Putiel incorporates the full array of his yichus. Dekanami tichsiv mibnos Putiel. It says that Elazar ben Aaron took an isha mibnos Putiel, and it says spells it yud. It spells it mali with a yud, not pei vav tes Aleph Lamed, but with a yud in between the tes and the aleph. So trei mashma, that makes it sound like it's plural, that it was both. So shema mina, so you see that you can prove from the pasuk that Putiel, the Pinchas, comes from Yosef as well, and not only from Yisro. So says the Be'er Shava, but how could it be that the Shvatim were mevaze him, that look at your terrible yichus, you come from Yisro, who's mefate magalim lavodzer, he was a descendant of Yosef Hatzadik. So that, how do you pick on that? So says Be'er Sheva, yeah, that's the way people who want to be Mevaza people, that's what they pick on the weakest point, meaning, and ignore all of the person's strengths. It's almost rascal. That's what people do, that when they judge someone else, when they bully someone else, they always find that one weak point in the person and ignore all of the person's strengths in order to be Mevaza the person. That's exactly what they did, true to form of what people who are Mevaza other people always do. So now says the Mishnah, V'dibur ha-shotrim ala am le'mar. So the shotrim now speak to the people, and they say, Mio ish asher bana bayis chadash v'lo chanacho? Who built a new house and didn't begin to live in the house? Yelech v'yashav l'beiso. Go back home, you don't belong here on the battlefield. So the Mishnah explains, it's not only someone who built a residential home, but echad abona beis hateven, whether it's a bayis to store grain in, beis habakar, a place where the cattle are going to live, beis ha'etzim, a place to store wood, beis ha'utzaros, a place where they store wine or oil or grain, echad abona ve'echad alokech, and whether you yourself built the house or whether you purchased the house from someone else who built the house, ve'echad ha'yoresh, ve'echad shenitin l'matana, whether you yarsh in the house or whether it was given to you as a matana, in all of those cases you qualify as being asher bana bayis chadash v'lo chanacho. The Gemara is going to explain where we get that from, that all of that qualifies and only says bana bayis, but nevertheless the halach is that all of those qualify. It's interesting that having bought a house also qualifies. So the Mishnah Melech points out, so what if you have a house, you've had it for many years, and you hear that there's a war going on, that they're about to start a war and they're drafting everyone to the army, so you go to your neighbor and you say, I'll sell you my house for, you know, someone you know you can trust, I'll sell you my house for a dollar. He buys the house and then you buy it right back from him. So is that a p'tur from Milchama, that you're lokeach a bayis that you used to own? So says the Mishnah Melech, no, that's not going to work. It can't be that to be chozer and be kona a bayis. That's much worse. Karenora proves from Yerushalmi that there's no such chiluk, that just like if a house was destroyed and you rebuilt it on its spot, that that's called bana bayis. So too, if a house was sold and you rebought it, that's also called bana bayis. So the Torah Sakhnos points out that it's mavur in the Yerushalmi that all those who are chozer merachal mechama have to bring a raya ledevrayhem. So if someone bought a house or a tree, so you don't have to worry about harama because it's very, very expensive. But if someone could just sell it to his neighbor and buy it right back, so then you would have to worry about harama. Salamai, that doesn't work. That's not a valid heter. So that's the discussion that the Achronim have. That isn't there an easy out over here? Whether that in fact is a loophole. Echel enoteya, and when it comes to planting a vineyard, whether you plant new trees, bechla mavrich, or you take a branch of the tree and you put it into the ground and then it grows out from that spot in the ground, vechla markiv, or if you graft it onto another tree, vechla lokeach, or whether you purchased a tree that someone else planted, vechla yoresh, or you inherited a tree, vechshnitzel matana, or is given to you as a matana, but you were not yet mechal of the kedushas peros during the fourth year on money, meaning in fourth year it has a din of like maaser sheni, not a revayas din like maaser sheni. anywhere. You have to eat in Yerushalayim or be mechallel on money in order to be able to eat it anywhere. If that didn't happen yet, you chozer meorcha melchama. And then umiya isha sher eris isha, who has had erisin and lo lekacha. So the Mishnah explains echad ma'aris is a basula, whether he had erisin with the basula, echad ma'aris is halmano, or it's a woman who's been previously married. Vafilu shomeris yavam, and even if you didn't do erisin, but the brother died without any children, now she becomes your shomeris yavam. Vafilu shamash meis achav b'malchama, and even if you just get word that the brother died during the war and he doesn't have any children, so now she's a shomeris yavam. Choser uvaldo, so he goes back from the war. The question is, the achronim are bothered by, once you say shomeris yavam, what's added when you say vafilu shamash meis achav b'malchama? Shamash meis achav b'malchama makes her a shomeris yavam, makes you the yavam that has to do yibum. So what difference does it make what context he died in? So in the Eretz Tzvi, the Kashuk Lava points out that the chiddush is that one might have said that when you hear about people dying on a battlefield, it's not always the information is not always coming in so accurately during times of war. The way information travels and the way things happen in war, where things sometimes seem like everyone has died, and so there are really some survivors from the battle. That's what it says in the Mishnah in Yevamos, that when there's Melchama Ba'olam, and a woman says that Meis Baila, she's Einin Emenes, because it could be that she saw that her husband was badly wounded, but maybe he's not really dead. So that's not a high enough level of evidence to let a woman get remarried, but B'chol Zomeyokra Melchama does not need that same standard of evidence, and that's what the Eretz Yisrael points out. That's the Chiddush of this line in the Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah points out that it's dafka when she's nafla the fun of liyibum, even though it's already a shas milchama that he's chozer. But if he's iris isha bimilchama, he's ainu chozer. Meaning maybe the chiddush is that the war already started. She only became a shomeres yavam after the war started. These other heterim don't work after the war started. If the war already started, you can't go and make and have erisin in order to be exempt from war. So maybe that's the chiddush of this line in the Mishnah. Anyway, kol all of those that are mentioned, Shomer Divrei Kohen Merucha Melchama, they listen to the Kohen who arranges the troops for war, v'chozer, and they go back to their cities, but they don't go back home all the way. Instead, u'masapkim mayim u'mazon u'maskinin esedrachim. They have other jobs in the army. They're just not going to be warriors. They're not going to be the people on the battlefield, but they're going to provide the water and the food. They're going to work in the kitchen on the base. They're going to prepare the roads. They're going to work in construction. That's going to help the army. So that's it. They still have to help in the war effort. Ve'elu she'enon chozer. But then there are people that are not chozer merochel melchama, and they are habone beis shar, someone who builds a beis shar, a place where a guard's booth, achsadra, or a hallway in front of a bais that you enter into a house through, umar pesed, or you have a balcony where it's not roi ledira, but it's on a second level where you could stand outside on a balcony. Hanotea arba ilani machal, if a person planted four types of four trees that bear fruit, which is not because a kerem is always only if it's five trees. The Chamisha Ilan Yisrak, where he planted five trees, but they don't bear fruit. They're trees that are used for their wood, like cedar trees. Hamachzir Skrushaso, if a person remarries a woman that he had previously divorced, so she's not new to him. Or Almana the Kohen Gadol, you have an Almana marry a Kohen Gadol, where the marriage is Aser. Or Grusha V'chalutza the Kohen Edil, where also it's an Iser Lav for the Grusha V'chalutza to be married to a Kohen Edil. Mamzeres and Nesina Li Yisrael, or you have a Mamzeres or a Nesina that's married to Yisrael. Again, where all these things are Aser, forbidden marriages. Pas Yisrael, the Mamzul Nasan, Lo Yechoser. In those cases, it's not considered that you built a bayis, it's not called you planted to the kerem, and it's not called an isha chadasha, or because she's not an isha muteris though. Now it's interesting. One of the examples we gave as someone who's a forbidden marriage is an almana l'kohen gadol. If it's an almana l'kohen gadol, then he does not go out to war. So the Beis David says, you see from here that a kohen gadol goes out to fight a melchemes harashos, meaning this whole announcement is only made for melchemes harashos, for melchemes mitzvah. Afilu kala mechupasa. So the kohen gadol is drafted into the army to fight on Melchamas HaRishos. Otherwise, why did we give that example? And apparently, the reason he's drafted is because we want to have many zuchiyos. Sometimes, if you're in a dangerous situation and you're next to a big tzaddik, you feel like, okay, you know, I'm pretty safe over here. I was on the plane coming back from Toronto yesterday, and at a certain point, it was very turbulent, and Rav Shechter was sitting a couple of rows near me. So, okay, I felt comfortable. I felt we were protected. And the Shoshan Ladavid, he says, nah, not a raya that the Kohen Gadol goes to a Melchama. He wouldn't even go out to Melchama's mitzvah. Kol Shkein, he's not going to Melchama's or Rishos. Over here, we're not talking about the Kohen Gadol, we're talking about a Meshuach Melchama. Because the Yisrof and Alman of the Kohen Gadol is even for the Kohen Meshuach Melchama. So, yeah, it makes sense that the Kohen, his whole job was to rally the troops to Melchama, that he's going to go to Melchama, but it doesn't mean the main Kohen Gadol, who does the Avodah Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash. So says the Mishnah Vayter, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afa Bona Bayis Al Mechono, even a person whose house was destroyed and he rebuilt the house on the spot, Lo Yechozer, would not go back Merach HaMelchama because it's not new to him. That Bayis is not new to him. So therefore he would not return. It's interesting, the Tosefta writes that the Tanakhama disagrees and holds that even if your house fell down and you rebuilt it, you are Chozer Merach HaMelchama. So in the Rambam, he writes that Ein Alach Krab Yudah, we don't pass in Krab Yudah, we pass in Tanakhama, that you do go back Merach HaMelchama. So Ben Yoyada points out in Maseches Erevin that this is totally back in the Machlokas we had in Daf Yud Aleph. If you remember on Daf Yud Aleph, we described the beginning of Shibud Mitzrayim, how Paro took a mortar and put it around his neck, and he took Eitzah from Yisro and from Bilam and from Eov. So one of the things we said is Vayakom Melech Chadash Ashalo Yada as Yosef. So Melech Chadash, so Chad Omer Chadash Mamish. There's a Machlokas Rav Shmuel. One said it was Chadash Mamish, and one said it's Chad Shuk Zerosav. But Chadash doesn't mean that he was new. It means it just has a new appearance, a new presentation. So the Ben Yoyada says that's the same machlokas. What's called the bayis chadash? Does it have to be chadash mamish, that it's mamish brand new, or does it just mean that it has a whole new appearance, that the whole thing was dilapidated and then you rebuilt it? So that's enough to be called chadash. So the same machlokas, Tanakam Rabbi, does the machlokas Amurayim over there. That's what the Ben Yoyada tainas. Elu she'in zazim mimakamon. And then we say the following. Our people, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Af Abona Bayis Levenim Bisharon, even a person who plants who builds a brick house in Sharon, where the karka is not does not lend itself for that house to last very long, Lo Yechozer still wouldn't go back from he would not go back from war because it's a temporary house. Elu Shein Zazim Mimkamen, the following people don't even have to go to help in the war effort at all, meaning they don't even have to go to work in the kitchen and to prepare the roads. But Abayis Vichanacho, if he built a house and he started living in the house, but it's still the first year that he's living in the house, so he's totally exempt. Notakerem Vichilalo, he planted a vineyard and he was Mechal the Peros of the fourth year, but it's still during the fourth year. Hanosi Es Arusaso, Akone Es Yivimto, someone who marries, who has nisuin with his arusa, or he actually does yibum? Shneimer naki yil beso shana achas, because the pasuk says that he's supposed to be naki the beso shana achas, and it says v'simach v'sishta shalakach. So we darshin lebeso. What does it mean? Naki yil beso zebeso. That's if you're mechanech your new house. Yiyeh zekarmo. Yiyeh is a reference to your vineyard. V'simach v'sishta zoishto ashalakach laviyas yivimto. Say in maspeak of my Muslim, they don't even have to help in the war effort whatsoever. They don't have to do anything as far as the war effort is concerned. So it's interesting, in the first year after actually having Yisuin, the exemption is greater than someone who's Eris Isha V'lo L'kacha, where you're only exempt from being a combat soldier, but you're not exempt from helping in some way or another. So how far does that go? These exemptions, or this idea that in Shana Rishona of marriage, a person has to modify or is expected to be home all the time. So in the Sefer HaChinuch, Mitzvah Tavkuf Pei Beis, he says that there's a mitzvah of Naki Yilabeso Shana Achas, that a person in Shana Rishona is not allowed to leave the city, Latzeis L'Mechama, V'lo Le'inyanim Acherim. He says not only a din in war, he's not allowed to leave. He has to be with his wife. Minchas Chinuch is medayik from the Rambam. He only mentions the milchama. It doesn't mention in Tzarchei Ir. But he's allowed to go. But the Rambam doesn't say anything else. So it sounds like he's allowed to go for other things. Aside from that, Minchas Chinuch says mehechitesi. The Sefer Chinuch makes up his own iser. It says nachi el beisel, but the context is about milchama and the Mishnayos and the Gemara only talk about milchama. They don't see anything. It doesn't say in any post. That a chassan in Shana Rishona is not allowed to be without his wife for a few days. In Shuvas Chassam Sofer and Ebn Ezer Chelik Beis Simur Kufnun Hey, he points out that in the Sefer HaMitzvos the Rambam writes Vida ki a chassan atzmo musar milotzes mi beiso bischora kol shenaso. He's not allowed to go on a business trip the whole year. So Chassam Sofer says that he wrote that as a misvara, but it's not really a mitzvah sase or lo sase. But and even those who would ask it would say you're allowed to go for Talmud Torah because it's a dvar mitzvah. So you do have something. Even the Rambam himself, which Minchas Chinuch was medayek, that the Rambam Mishnah Torah doesn't say anything other than milchama. The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvahs does say something about not going even for schora. So that's the question: is there a halacha like this, or is this just something that seems like a very good idea that the guy should stay home? Okay, Tanu Rabbanu v'dibra shotim. So it says that the Shotrim were the ones that made these announcements. I might think the Shotrim are just speaking on their own. When it says that the Shotrim then said even further, so we see later they're going to say their own things. What do I do with the earlier phrase? It was the words of the Mishloch Melchama. Well, how is it the words of the Mishloch Melchama that the Shotrim are speaking? So Kaim Medaber v'Shotrim Hashmiya. Just like in when they used to give shiurim, that one person would speak and the other person would sort of do the announcing and be the microphone. So the Kohen would speak and the Shotrim would be mashmiya, would say it loudly that everyone could hear. So Tani Chada, Kohen Medaber v'Shotrim Mashmiya. We have one brisa that says that yes, that's how it worked, that the Kohen was Medaber and the Shotrim was Mashmiya. V'Tanya Idach, but then there's another brisa that says Kohen Medaber v'Kohen Mashmiya, that the Kohen not only was Medaber, but he was Mashmiya. V'Tanya Idach, and the third brisa, Shotrim Medaber v'Shotrim Mashmiya, that the Shotrim did everything. So Rabbi, how can all three brisos be accurate? No problem. There are three different sections of the speech. V'nigash, when it says Shema Yisrael atem kravim v'ad v'dibru, until v'dibru, that's the kriya that the people are told not to be afraid of the milchama because Hashem is going with you and you're not coming with the koach of basar v'dam, you're coming with the koach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's koin medabra, koin mashmiya. That's all the mishloach milchama. That the koin is medabra, the koin is mashmiya. Mi v'dibru ad v'yam. From the Dibra Shotvim until the Yasfu, which are the someone who built or planted or was Ma'aris, that's Shav Me'orcha Melchama, that's Kohen Medaber, the Shotar Mashmiya. The Kohen says it and the Shotar is Mashmiya. Mivi Yasfu, Ve'elach, when they start saying, Mia Isha Yare Veracha Levav, so that's Shotar Medaber, the Shotar Mashmiya. So there are three parts to the speech and different speakers at each point. So Mia Isha Shabana Bayis Chadash. So he said, who built the new house? And we said, what's included in building a new house to be chozim erachal mechamas. So the brisa elaborates. Tanu Rabbanan asharbana. So it says ainli ala asharbana. I would only know from the phrase asharbana that you have to have built the house on your own. Lakach v'yarshin dinol matana minayin. How do I know that even if you purchased the house or you inherited the house or you bought it as a matana that you also go back? So tavalomar mi ha'ish. It could have said mi asharbana. From saying ha'ish, it's telling me that even someone who didn't actually do the building himself, but the bias is new to that person, that it's a new house to him, to the man, to the gavra, that's enough to be exempt. Asher bana bayis, ainli ela bayis. It says asher bana bayis, so I would only know a residential bayis. Minayin l'rabos beis ha'tevin, beis ha'bakar, beis ha'etzim, beis ha'otzoros. How do I know that a house, that a storage facility for straw, or for cattle, or for wood, or for grain, or wine, or oil? Satam lomer, asher bana mikol makom. That's asher bana tells me, all inclusive. Even if it's not a residential home. Yachl shani marba afabona beishar sajra marpesas. So I might think to include even these lesser kind of structures, a guard booth, a porch, a balcony. So tamalomar bayis. Ma bayis haroi ledira, afkala roi ledira. That it needs to be something that's roi ledira, where beishar sajra marpesas are not considered to be roi ledira. The Yerushalmi says, and also bayis that's pachas midal al amos is not roi ledira, and therefore that's also not included. That's what you have in the beginning of Masechta Sukkah, that whenever we have a din of bayis, it always means dalet amos al dalet amos. You put mezuzos, you put a mezuzah on mezuz beisecha, on the doorpost of beisecha. So bayis that's pachas midalet al dalet amos is not considered a bayis. So when we talk about ibur ir, all of these things, whenever there's a din that relates to bayis, batei orichoma, it always needs to be dalet al dalet amos. So that's what Yerushalmi adds in this context over here as well. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, bayis kemashma'o. He says bayis means that it's a residential home. And that's what you go back, that's what exempts you from war. But he disagrees with the Tanakama, who said that even a Beis HaTevin and Beis HaOtzer and Beis HaBakar, no, he says bayis means residential home. Lo chanach velo chanacho prat legazlan. So another drasha from the fact that it could have said lo chanach, but it adds an extra vav, it says lo chanacho, that tells me that if you stole the house, even though you're lo chanacho, you don't yet live there, you don't go back merach hamelchama. So says Mar Lema, does the Brisa need to say that a guy who steals a house doesn't go back? This would imply that we're assuming not like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Di Rabbi Yossi Aglili ha'amar. Rabbi Yossi Aglili darshins when we say mi'a ishayari viracha levav that he should go home. Zamisari me'averos shabiyado. That's referring to someone who has averos. Now, if a person stole a house, so even if you can say that it's considered a brand new house and therefore he would be chozer, he doesn't have to go back because banabai is chadash v'lochanacho, but he has to go back anyway because of the Averos Shabiyado, because he has the Aver of Geneva Shabiyado. So even if you can say it's not an exemption from the house perspective, but it's an exemption anyway, because he's a Ganav, and a Ganav is Yari V'racha Levov, because of Averos Shabiyado. And that would be the exemption to get him out of war. So by saying that a guy who has a stolen house is not exempt, that doesn't fit with the Shita of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So says Mar, no, I feel the same Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Kigon Dava Tshuva V'yav Dami. No, we're talking about, we could even be going like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, but the guy did tshuva and he already paid the nigzal the value of the house. So for the avera of that gezel, he would not have to be chozer merach hamelchama. And therefore it's relevant to know, is he exempt mitam the house? He's not exempt mitam the gezel because he's no longer a gazlan. He already did tshuva. But is he exempt mitam the house? Mishnah Melech interestingly points out, this is not the only time in the Masechta where we had something about a person who did an avera not being subject to a certain halacha. The entire sota, the concept of sota, we said, that if the man is averos shabiyado, if the guy has averos, then the mayim is not going to be bodek azishto. If ein ish menuka me'avon, ein a mayim bodek azishto. If the man is not menuka me'avon, the mayim is not going to be bodek his wife. So Mishnah Melech says, but over there we didn't say that tshuva helps. Over here we say that tshuva helps. So he says maybe that really limits when sota applies, because if the man is not menuka me'avon, the mayim is not going to be bodek azishto. Who's menuka me'avon already? Who dies? The Gemara identifies like a few people that are Menuka Me'avon. So, and you only have over here that Tshuva helps. So maybe over there it doesn't help. That's the Ha'ara of Mishal Melech. So Iach Yavli Lokech V'Lihader. So it says Gemara, if he paid for the bias, isn't he Lokech Bayis Chadash? If he paid for it when he did Tshuva, and therefore he should be Chozer from Milchama for that. No, Kivin Neim Kar B'Torah Gzela Asliyah De'lo. Since initially when he acquired it, it was through Gzela, he does not get exempt. Miyash Hashar Nata Kerem. Then we said, who planted a kerem? So who's including that? So Tan Rabban, Asher Nata, Ein Li Ela Nata. Look, how do I know that if he acquired the kerem through some other means other than planting it? Tamalomar Mia Ish. So could have said Mia Asher Nata, says Mia Ish, and even if it's just new to that person, he's Pater. Asher Nata Kerem, Ein Li Ela Kerem. I would only know a kerem which is made up of at least five vines. Minayin Rabbis Chamisha Ilanimachal Filmisharminim. How do I know five fruit trees of any other min? Amalomar Asharnata. It says Asharnata. It says Nata before the word Kerem to tell me Asharnata, whatever you were Nata, is, it would count. I might think that even if you plant only four Ilani Machal, or you plant however many Ilani Srak, non fruit bearing trees, that you'd be exempt. Hamlamar Kerem. That's why it says Kerem. Kerem teaches me not that it must be a vineyard, but if you're planting fruit bearing trees, it has to be the same number as vines would make up a vineyard, that same number of fruit bearing trees, and that non fruit bearing trees are totally not part of this halacha. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Kerem kimashma'o. Kerem means dafka Kerem. If you plant any other tree, you can plant a giant apple orchard, doesn't matter. You're not pater from Melchama. Lo chilel velo chililo. That it says, so that comes to tell me that it excludes someone who's mavrich or markiv, an ilan. Frankly, Gemara, what do you mean, prat? In our Mishnah, we learned that people who graft trees are also pater from milchama. So I'm Rabbi Zera, milchisa lo kasha. Kanvar kava zisur. The brisa that says that you're not chozer from milchama is talking about where you did a har kava that's asur to do. You violated the isur of klayim. So we said that these kinds of exemptions don't work when you do an isur. Just like the guy who got married, but he's a kohen to a grusha or an alman of kohen gadol, those kinds of things. So they don't exempt you. So our kavas isur does not exempt you. But Kan, in the Mishnah where it says you do go back, is bar kavas heter, where you remark if min bimino, where it's not a problem of klayim. So higher kavas heter, hey chidami, what's the case of min bimino that the Mishnah is talking about that you chose from lechama on account of the harkava? Ile mi yalda bi yalda, if it's a young sapling that you remark if onto another young sapling, typically by you'd be pater on account of the first young sapling, because that's also a young tree. Ella yalda b'zakena. It must be that we're talking about that you graft a yalda onto a zakena. But from yalda shesimcha b'zakena, but the yalda b'zakena vein b'dinarla. But wait, but then it all takes on the status of the zakena, so it's not counted that you have a new tree, so you shouldn't be pater anyway. So what's the case where you graft a tree and you're pater from going to milchama on account of that grafting? If it's a young tree on another young tree, you're pater anyway for the first young tree. If it's a young tree onto an old tree, you don't have a young tree, you have an old tree. Some Rabbi Yirmiyahu, liolam yalda b'yalda. It's a young tree on another young tree, going to not alach kamaisa l'siyagul l'korus. But when you planted that first tree, the intention was to use it either for the wood or to use it as fencing around your property. Ditznana nuteil l'siyagul l'korus patim in arla, because then it's not subject to arla, and if it's not subject to arla, you're not patim from l'chama. But then when you graft another fruit-bearing tree that you want to use for its fruits onto that tree, now you're going to be put from Arla on account of the grafting. But wait, why don't we just say it's bottle to the fence? Meaning you planted a tree that you wanted to use for fencing, so you're not put from war for that, and then you graft another tree onto that. Why not say that it takes on the character of the tree that was planted for fencing? After all, when you graft a yalda onto a zakena, it takes on the character of a zakena. So says Marna Hasam, by the zakena, imim lechalalav bas me'adri. Even if you decide that you want to make it chayiv in arla, it's too late. You can't. It's a zakena. So that's why it has the dominant characteristic that the whatever you graft onto it takes on its characteristics. But when it comes to a yalda with a yalda, it just happens to be that the first yalda that was planted was for fencing. If you decide that you want to instead use it for the fruit, so now it's still going to be chayv and arla, because it is a fruit bearing tree, and therefore that will work. So says Gemara, and it's just, even though your kavanu when you planted it wasn't for fruits, it would still be subject to arla if you change your mind, just like a tree that grows on its own. A tree that just pops up is chayiv in arla. So v'lukma b'kerem shel shnei shutafin. But why not give a simpler answer? You want to know what's a case of grafting where I'm not already exempt on account of the tree that was there beforehand, but I'm only exempt on account of the arkava? Why not just say I have a shutaf in this property and I own the tree that I just grafted? He owns the tree that I grafted it onto, so I wasn't exempt on account of that tree. And each owner will go for his own tree, will return back. So Papa Zosamaris kerem shel shnei shutafin. It must be that if you have a vineyard that's owned by two partners, it's not an exemption. chozrin. But why should that be any different than when you have shutfin in a yevama, where if let's say a man dies at war and he has a whole bunch of brothers, they all go back mi'arucha milchama. So it says Mirna Hasan by the Shomeres Yavam kol chad v'chad karina bei ishto. She's called ishto to each one of them because each one might be the one that is miyavim her. But hachu kol chad v'chad lo karina bei karmo. But over here you can't call each one of them his kerem that's miyucha to him because each gefen they each own a part of. So it's not, there's nothing that's miyucha to him. I'm a little bit bothered that it doesn't say in the pasuk anywhere karmo. That word doesn't appear. So what kind of drasha are we making over here? Okay, it's difficult. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Kamar, a different possibility. What's the case where you graft a tree and you're putter? B'mavrach ilan b'yarek. You weren't putter on account of what you grafted it onto because it was a yarek. And you grafted a tree onto a yarek. V'haytanu, and we're assuming that you're allowed to do that. T'tanya, mavrach ilan b'yarek. Rav Shimon Gamliel matir. Mishum Rav Yehuda ben Gamdi ish kvarako. V'cham oshin. But the cham say it's aser. So if you assume like the shita that it's mutter, then you'd be chozer me'orcham l'chama for that. Ki aser Rav Dimi amar Rav Yochanan. Hamani Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakovi, lo amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov hasam kerem kimashmao, hachanami nata kimashmao, notein mavrich markev lo. Another answer. We had the stira between the Brisa and the Mishnah. Are you putter when you graft a tree? Where the Mishnah said, yeah, you grafted a tree, you're putter. The Brisa said, no, you're not putter. Very simple. It's machlokas tanaim, meaning just like we had a machlokas, whether when it says nata kerem means only a kerem or even other trees. So maybe they argue about does nata mean only nata? Or even if you were not actually notaya, even if it was just that that you grafted one into the other. Kiyatz Rav Dimi Om Rav Yochum Mishum Eloz Ben Yaakov Yalda Pchusa Mitefach Chayevus Bar Lekol Shino Seha Dimischazi Kabash Shasa. If you have a very tiny tree that never grows high, it's always going to have dinam of arla because everyone's always going to think it's a marasayan issue. Everyone's always going to think it's a young tree. V'hani Mili Shtayim Kinegarachas V'yotza Zanav. The Chum only answer that and say they have to treat it like arla if it's just a set of five trees. Aval kule kerem kala islay. But if it's a whole vineyard set up like that, then everyone's going to realize that that's just the nature of those vines, and it's not going to be a marasayin issue, and then it won't be arla forever. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Kiyas Rav Dimi. I'm Rabbi Yochum Mishum Rav Yaakov. Have a great day, everyone.